Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 12th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by the amazing Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm good, Taryn. To those of you who have tuned in to see Liana, I am her champion for this morning. Bear with us. It'll be a good one. I promise.
Yes, she passed the torch to Puya, who is now carrying it. Liana will be back eventually once she tells me that she's good to come back. So, well, she'll be back. Don't worry. Yes. So, Nina in the chat. Liana, you look great.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you so much.
All right. So let's get into our update for the day. We're going to tell you everything that happened on the Big Brother 19 live feeds yesterday. So right from the get-go yesterday, Kevin was just kind of in a weird headspace, starting to get antsy, talking to Paul about, like, why aren't we voting Matt out? Why don't we get Matt out? I think that Matt should maybe go. I don't know about this whole plan about, like, maybe we should take out Elena instead of, if Cody gets immunity, then maybe we should take out Elena. No, I think maybe Matt should go. I don't know about taking out all these girls. Why aren't we taking Matt out? And Paul says, well, dude, Matt and Raven are too sissy to do anything in this game. That's why we're keeping Matt around. And yes, that was a direct quote. Kevin's just feeling like, what are we doing here? What are you feeling about Kevin right now?
I feel like Kevin, well, after the DR we saw last episode, I think he really wants to turn it on, and he really wants to get some game going. And I think Kevin is one of the few people who kind of sees Matt the way we see Matt. We're like, Paul is seeing Matt as someone who's just not going to do anything. He's just going to be throwing, just going to float his way on. He's not a threat. But Kevin sees Matt as someone with some potential and sees him as someone who could be, quite frankly, sitting in the spot that Kevin wants to sit in, where you're in the alliance, you're not expected to do much, you just get up, you be a team player, and you're all good. Now, Kevin, I feel like, was in this spot and has done some things to kind of unravel that, which I think we'll get into a little later on. But I think for Kevin's game, it just seems like he really wants to get something going, and he's tired of just the same old, same old.
Yeah, and I think we can't forget that we talked about this the other day, that Kevin is still pretty upset with Raven about the whole thing where she was talking about him and the deals that he was making. And this eventually leads into a conversation about, like, oh, Raven is always hurt. She's, like, injured every day. People are very, very just, like, through with Raven at this point. I believe Jessica is now on Twitter, and she found the Raven Exposed Party hashtag and is absolutely loving it, I guess.
Having a field day with that one.
Yeah. So she was like, thank you that everyone outside of the house saw what we saw inside of the house. So yeah, it seems as though everyone is just about done with Raven here. But yeah, I mean, it's just the way it goes, I guess.
As long as Paul has the ability to be the master of spin, we're not going to get what we want out of this for now.
Yeah.
His argument being that we already have a showmance that we've kind of pissed off, so we might as well keep pulling at that thread and not start a whole new chapter with Matt and Raven.
Yeah, it's Paul. I mean, Paul's argument, I think, holds pretty true, where it's like, you know, according to Paul's logic, it makes no sense to target Matt or Raven yet. The problem is that not everyone benefits under Paul's logic, but they all see Paul's logic. It's very clear and it makes a lot of sense, but it benefits Paul more than anyone else. And people aren't really recognizing that, like, wait, what about my logic? They don't really have their own at the moment. So that's part of the problem here. We also had Christmas talking about how she caught Matt, Mark, and Elena in... sorry, not Matt, Mark, and Elena. That would be very strange. She caught Mark and Elena in the have-not room the other night when they were getting a little busy. So they're not doing too well keeping this under wraps. Christmas is onto this, and this is probably part of what sort of... there's going to be some conflict between Christmas and Mark later in the day. So that might be part of it there. We also had Matt and Josh talking about who's going to throw the competition. We talked about this yesterday, but the idea is that we need to prevent Cody from throwing the competition, so he has a guaranteed shot at Vito. And in order to do that, somebody needs to throw the competition. Matt was agreeing to throw the competition for a while. Then sort of right before the competition started, he went to Josh and said, hey, look, Josh, I have an idea. How about if it's questions, I'll throw it. If it's physical, you throw it. And Josh was like, all right, fine. That's whatever. So they go into the competition with that in mind. And it actually turned out to be questions. And Mark wins the temptation competition, getting all 10 questions right. And Matt throws it and is our third nominee. How do you feel about this, Puya?
I feel like it was a very sound decision. I kind of want to give somewhat of maybe a shred of credit to Matt. The fact that it would be stupid of him to try and throw a physical comp. I feel like it's one of those things where once you're seen as the guy, like if they know you're throwing, that's the most obvious one for him. I mean, the dude does crush cereal, but he still is a built person. So it would be very hard to try and like mask that as anything but throwing it. I feel like they kind of made the move they had to make where they wanted to make sure Cody wasn't the one who ends up losing, so that Cody doesn't have a guaranteed shot at the veto. And on the flip side, I mean, Mark now 3 weeks in a row has won three things that have kept him safe. So I feel like the target on Mark is getting bigger, and that's best for the house and best for someone like Paul to have another target lined up if they do shoot and hit Cody this week.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for Mark because it's very necessary that he wins these competitions. He could very easily become the backup target, but it is starting to get a little, you know, the target's getting pretty big here where this is the third week in a row where he's won, you know, either the temptation competition or the veto. And if he keeps this up, it's going to be hard to justify not going after Mark anytime soon. However, it also is showing that he has the chops to win these competitions. And he is one of the few people that sort of sees the house for what it is. He sees the full structure of it with Paul in charge of everything. So, you know, if Mark gets a little lucky with an HOH here or there, we could see something happen in the game. But I don't know. He hasn't been lucky with the HOH. It's just his own individual immunity. So we're just going to have to see where that leads. So we talk, we have Paul and Kevin talking about a backup plan here. Now that Mark is immune, they cannot put Mark and Elena up on the block anymore, which had been the previous plan. And now what happens if Cody gets picked and wins the veto? Who is going up on the block now that Mark can't go up on the block? We need to discuss all of this stuff. Kevin again saying, we need to take Matt out. Matt's the guy. We can't keep getting rid of girls. We can't get rid of Elena. He's got this fixation on like, we can't get rid of all the girls, dude. We got to get rid of it. It's going to look bad. We need to get rid of the guys. He really wants to get rid of it. Do you know why Kevin wants to get rid of the guys here?
I mean, his justification is that there will not be a show. The show will not be good without girls, which I understand. But at the same time, also, I mean, Kevin is he's not a Devin, but he does have daughters. And I feel like he's just got this bond with the girls that whether it's small conversations, just the closeness that comes with these talks, he's not really going to be getting that with the likes of Whistlenut and Josh. So that's got to play into it a little bit in the back of his head. But at the same time, I still think he's very fixated on Matt in particular, and I think it's one of those things where if he can't get Raven, he wants to get Matt.
Yeah, that seems to be the case here. Kevin, again, he's kind of just running around trying to press some sort of agenda, and it's starting to make people a little wary. So Kevin needs to be careful of that. Good. So yes, Alex now is trying to figure out who do I put up next to Elena now? Maybe Paul? Should I put up Paul? Jason's like, I don't know. We don't want people to flip on Paul. Paul, to his credit, pretends to be very willing. I'll totally do it. That'll be totally fine. But Jason ends up volunteering, saying, no, you know what? I'll do it. I'm good for it. This will be fine. And Paul goes, oh, are you sure? Because if there's any part of you that doesn't want to do this, I'll totally do it. It makes more sense for you to do it. I totally agree with your logic. But, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, I'm willing to step up for you, which it works. Jason is willing to go on the block, and it seems as though Jason is going to be the pawn here. I don't like this at all, Jason. What are you doing?
No, it's ridiculous. And it's one of those things, right, where like in real life, we have a similar situation where like you're dancing for the check. The check comes in, you reach for it, they reach for it. You're like, no, I insist, I will pay for it. No, I got this. So it's like essentially Paul's very good at this aspect of it where he really does sell that he's willing to go up. And that's enough for everyone else to be like, well, he's already been around the block. Let me show everyone else that I'm willing to play ball. And the fact of the matter is right now with Cody there as such a clear-cut target, a lot of them feel safe enough to do so. Now, Paul obviously will not want to do that and will never feel safe about doing so because he knows, you know, the very cliche pawns can go home, yada, yada. But Whistlenut, for some whatever twisted, ridiculous reason, is willing and goes up instead of Paul.
Yeah, I think I like the check analogy. I feel like it's almost like if there were two people who went out to dinner and they're both like, oh, you know, who should pay for the check? And then one of them is like, oh, I'll totally pay. I mean, you do make like 10 times more than me and I am struggling to like feed my family. But I mean, if you don't feel comfortable paying, I'll totally do it. I mean, it does make sense for you to do it, but you know, I'm willing to step up here. It's very obvious for us looking in on it from the outside, but it's working. And the logic is that like, oh, hey, it'll make Mark and Elena feel comfortable because it'll prove to them that, look, you really are pawns. Look, I'm even putting my best friend on the block. But that makes no sense because this ends up making Elena feel even less comfortable because she's like, well, if Jason is next to me, I'm obviously the backup target because Jason isn't going home. She's not going to send her best friend home. The logic doesn't even make sense, but of course Paul is able to sell it here. Paul's just being ridiculous here. Words can't describe the ability of Paul right now. Elena gets a bit worried. She's like, well, now I'm really concerned because if Mark is safe and then Cody wins the veto and I'm up next to Jason, like, I don't like that at all. Paul says, don't worry about it. We've got backup plans. I'll take you off if I use the veto, or if I win the veto, I'll use the veto to pull you down. Paul later says that he'd use it on Jason instead. This is a classic Paul move, agreeing to take somebody down. And then when it comes to it, if he has to, he'll just say, oh, well, actually, it makes more sense to do this other thing, which I actually like. People are very inclined to be truthful. Like if they have no intention of taking Elena down, they'd be like, I don't know, maybe I'll take you down, Elena. And that immediately says to her, he has no intention of doing it. But what Paul has been able to do is say, yeah, I'll totally do it. Absolutely. And then when it comes to, oh, I didn't think about, well, this other thing. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. It's been working so far. So, I mean, would this work on you, Puya?
Hell no. I mean, like, cue up post-veto. I bet you this, the way he's going to like get it going is, but if I take you off, they'll know we have a thing going. Like, I got to keep you on there. You are one of the people that's been on everyone's mouths. I will make sure you won't go, but I can't use it on you because we got to miss these people. And that's the way it's going to be going. That's the way Master of Spin Paul does it. And I feel like we're getting to the point where one of these straws is going to break the camel's back. If he doesn't take her off and Elena wins the next one, I would love to see how that goes down. So we'll see.
I mean, the real move obviously is to throw the veto. So you never have to like, you know, live like us actually go through with any of those promises. But we know that's not exactly Paul's style either. So we'll just have to see what happens there. She's very concerned. Like if Cody wins the veto, I have to be going home. But then she realizes, wait a minute. Cody wins the veto. He can use it on me. He's safe. And then none of us go home. She's like, whoa, this is a great realization. She goes to Cody like, hey, Cody, if you win the veto, will you use it on me? And he's like, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. She's like, oh, this is great. Maybe I should pick Cody for the veto. And she starts joking about it. Like, you know what? Maybe I should pick Cody for the veto. She should pick Cody for the veto, right? This is a legitimate question, right? Everyone is trying to backdoor. Yeah, everyone is trying to backdoor Cody. The whole group is in on it. The entire point is to keep Cody from playing in the veto. If she picks Cody, it will be a direct like shot against that big group. Any chance she has of like reintegrating with them will probably be gone. However, it will potentially allow Cody to win and take her off. The problem is, if she makes such a big move, Cody doesn't even end up winning it, then she's kind of wasted a lot of social capital. But you have to imagine this is her only shot. She's not actually going to be able to reintegrate, right?
No, and I think this is a very interesting scenario for us to play out real quick. So she gets house guest choice, picks Cody. Cody wins, pulls her down. Whoever gets put up, I'm assuming in the back of my head, someone like Josh might go up, or actually, I'm not sure who would go up, but Kevin will immediately try and get behind the fact that, oh, Matt's still there. Elena's not anymore. Guys, like I said, Matt, I'm down with Matt. Let's do Matt. Even if they don't do it, he still can go to Elena, to Mark, to Cody. That they like. The wheels will start spinning at that point. It will get very interesting, and for us as viewers and for the house in general, because as of this point, who's going to be the replacement nominee?
Yeah, I think that's correct, and I think that, like, I mean, Elena, she has to start realizing that, like, she is on the bottom, and she does realize it to an extent, but she just feels like there's no way out. You have to be willing to make big moves here, and I think this is a moment where she needs to make a big move. If she does have the option to pick, she should try to get Cody to play in this veto, because if he does win and he does take her down, that means that big group is going to have to turn on each other. And that's going to be huge, because if Raven and Matt see that they're on the outs, maybe you can pull in Raven after they vote Matt out. Maybe. It's tricky, but maybe. And then maybe you can also get, like, you know, oh, well, now Alex put up Josh or Christmas or something, and like maybe they're mad about that. Like, why did they have to go up on the block when there's no clear target anymore? Like, there's a lot of room to play once you open this up and keep these people safe. You have at least three people who are very capable of winning HOH next week. And then if you do win that HOH, it's a couple big risks in a row, but if you do win that HOH, the whole game can turn around, because you can shift the entire power structure over to your side. So I feel like this has to be a place where, like, this is a power move that you can make, and you have to go for it if it's available to you. So I'd like to see Elena have the option to go through with this and, like, see what her decision is. That would be the greatest. If the Big Brother gods are listening to us, give Elena her own chip so that she can pick somebody in the veto. All right. So and Cody says this too. Like, even if you pick me and I lose, they're still going to vote me out over you. Like, they're not going to change their target to you. So,
exactly.
There's not a whole lot of downside here. John Densford in the chat says Matt is the clear target in that case, though. I agree. I think Matt almost definitely goes there, but again, it might show some cracks in the alliance. You know, once Matt and Raven realize that they're being screwed, they could start talking all kinds of stuff. And maybe that gets Christmas, who is already aware that Paul is talking to a lot of other people, like, wait a minute, you were saying that? You told him that? There's a lot of things that, like, it will make it much more difficult for Paul to maintain control, even though Matt probably goes pretty smoothly there. And again, you could theoretically pick up Raven as well. So lots of options.
Yeah. We're going to be in a position at that point where we shift away from the meandering that's been going on in this house to a lot more of a quick and successive conversation here, conversation there. There's so much that can go on with this one veto choice. And if it does turn out to be the result they want, where Cody does win, honestly, it could get twisted upside down, and the doubles coming up right after. So yes, please, let's make it happen.
Yeah. All right. So Jason talks with Alex about, all right, so what happens if Cody does win this veto? Who do we take out, Elena or Matt? Little does he know, he may not even have the option to take out Elena, but Jason doesn't really care either way. Jason is like, you know what? Really, Jason's interest is in Mark. And if Elena goes, that's great. If Matt goes, that's great as well. He doesn't really care. I think he should really actually want Elena to go, because that would clear Mark up to work with him even more. But, you know, he's not really minding either way. And then Alex, she just sort of parrots Paul's logic. Like, there's no reason to strike at Matt or Raven yet. We should just have Elena go. And again, like, I've said this before about Alex, where it's like, she is just kind of blindly following Paul, but Paul is working toward her own best interests as well as his. So it's hard to really complain about what Alex is doing. I'd like her to be showing a little more self-awareness in terms of like, yes, I am using Paul to get further in the game. A little more Steve, that would be nice. But yeah, we're not really getting it from Alex.
No, and I don't think we're gonna. I still stand with the fact that I don't think Alex is going to make many moves in this game. And while we are calling everyone sheep, she is one of the few sheep that is actually blindly leading herself to the promised land by following him, whereas there's a couple people in there that are following him and are going to be following him down a cliff. So yay for her, but for now, she might have to start giving us a little bit more of those Steve vibes, as you mentioned, before we start yelling out, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. And John Densford mentioned a little early in the chat as well that Jason is being very obvious about his support for Mark. That under-the-radar relationship is starting to come to the surface. Christmas and Josh especially are starting to recognize that he's pulling for Mark a bit too much. I've been liking what Jason has been doing up to this point. However, volunteering to go on the block and being a little obvious about his support for Mark, these are the signs of, I think this is his lack of game knowledge showing, right? Where it's like, he's got great instincts, he's got great social ability, but the strategic side of him, he needs more knowledge to understand what he should be doing. And we're seeing that sort of hinder his game here. So I don't know if Jason is going to be able to pull this out. I think, you know, I think he was probably at the top of my list before, but it's starting to go down. I feel like Paul is just going to continue to be the front runner at this point. He's just really running this house right now.
Yep. And like the thing with Jason is that not only is his game knowledge hindering him from going off on some interesting instincts and reads that I would say he has better than quite a few people, but the fact of the matter is because he doubts his own game knowledge and because he believes Alex is very knowledgeable, because he knows Paul is so knowledgeable, he's got himself into this position where he feels very comfortable enough that he's willing to go on the block and enough that he volunteers this information that I don't even think he understands the implications of when he is volunteering it.
Yes. All right. So then we also had Alex. She's been angry at Kevin for a long time. Just like hasn't been super high on him. It's sort of reaching a boiling point at this point. Like, he's not even good at competitions. He's not even good at remembering the days. He's just dead weight. He's sketchy. Paul joins in the conversation. He's like, yeah, you know what? He's been having conversations with Cody. Like, this is too much. Kevin is really starting to make us angry. Maybe we should even put Kevin up soon. Kevin is also somebody who is doing pretty well, doing good socially, had some pretty good instincts. But again, the strategic side, trying to make that deal with Cody and now trying to like push this, we need to get out the guy's agenda. It's really starting to grate on even his closest allies. So he needs to be very careful here.
Yeah, and I feel like the part that Kevin played wrong, in my humble opinion, is that the deal he made with Cody, I have no qualms with. Had he kept it to himself, be selfish and just bring yourself up. The fact that he brought other names into it without really consulting them with, you know, and with a big group like this, why weren't all the names mentioned, kind of nonsense that goes on. And in the back of your head, you see someone like Kevin who, the way Alex plays this game, the way she sees it, she's won two HOHs now. She would have gotten two people out of the house for her alliance, allegedly. And Kevin has not done this. Kevin has not won a competition to help his allies. He hasn't gone up as a pawn to help his allies. So Alex's perception of him is very, you're just sitting there and letting us drag you to the end, and you're not giving to the team. You're not contributing. Everyone else at least volunteers, at least tries to reach out for the check, but you're willing to let us pay for it. So I think that's what stemmed it up for her and her perception of Kevin. And I think Kevin's kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit with the scrambling he tried to do with Cody, and then with the, I feel like the little bit of whispers that he's doing already about getting Matt over Elena.
Yes. All right. So then we get into the big fight of the night. Christmas whispers to Alex that Mark is talking game with Cody. It's very sketchy. And Mark overhears this. Mark, the king of overhearing things, right? Like, he's just, he keeps catching people talking about him, and he confronts Christmas. What are you doing talking about me? This is a very long and drawn out fight. It eventually gets into stuff from week one. Lots of stuff happening. Do you want to describe this fight to me?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we start off with Christmas and Elena in the bathroom, kind of nothing going on. Then Mark slowly walks out of the toilet and approaches Christmas and says, "So you were talking about me?" And it's like, "Yeah, I was. I was just asking, I was consulting Alex, trying to get some clarity." Clarity being the key word of this entire conversation. And obviously Mark goes, "Well, why didn't you just talk to me? Alex wasn't even in the competition. Why won't you talk to me?" I said, "Well, you were talking to Cody and I wasn't sure, and I think you're aligned." And then this just spearheads into more and more and more. And it goes away from the toilet into the kitchen, so into the center town. And slowly but surely, you see other people in the background walking up. And then no one's obviously butting in. These two are still having their conversation. Christmas says, "You know, don't play me with your questions." Christmas gets a little aggressive. Mark raises his voice a little bit, not so much yelling, but just like, you know, being more projective, until everyone's favorite meatball walks in and decides to insert himself and says, "I'm sick of this BS. I'm going to talk for a second." And he blows it up even more, calls Mark a flip flopper, and goes on to explain how, "When I was going, you were with them. The minute I stayed, you flipped on them and you were with the house." And then Christmas pulls at this thread a little bit. And at this point, I'm starting to feel bad for Mark, because he's just kind of standing there. He's like, "All I want to know is, why didn't you talk to me? Like, just talk to me." And no one else wants that. And everyone else is kind of, these two kind of pile on a little bit. And then they decide in their infinite wisdom, "Oh, so you weren't aligned with Cody in the beginning? Okay, Cody. And Cody's just ear to the door, trying to listen in on this conversation. Then, of course, Josh goes to try and scoop him up. And he wants nothing to do with it. He's like, "I haven't played this game since Jessica left, and I'm not going to do that." And Josh's like, "Well, I respect it. But I just want to tell you this." Of course, Josh doesn't care what you're saying. He's going to say what he wants. And then Paul walks in, and oh, my God. And then Cody doesn't leave the room, and these two are talking. And then still in the kitchen, we've got Christmas and Mark trying to get to the bottom of this. It eventually boils over, and they go to separate sides of the house for a bit. But, oh, my God, all it started from was, "I heard you talking about me. Why didn't you talk to me?" To, "Oh, so you wanted me out week one? Oh, so you're telling me, Paul, that you were not in on the plan to get rid of me?" Like, we're rehashing things. Why is Dominique's name still coming up in this house? It just is. A lot just melting, going down and just blowing over from a little thing all the way to, week one. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was 5 p.m. BBT for those of you who want to go back and watch it.
Good call. It eventually does. It gets into this week one stuff where Paul eventually actually goes and talks to Cody, saying, "Did what you tell me before, or was what you told me before you left the first time you were evicted, was that true? That Mark knew the plan?" And Cody's very kind of vague about this. He's like, "Yes, it was true. What happened was, I told Mark about it. He shot it down. So then I kept it from him afterward," which is like, I don't think Paul really fully understood what that meant. We saw that play out in the episode where he brought the idea up to Mark. Mark said no. And then later says, "I've got a plan. I don't want to tell you because I don't want to implicate you." So it's again, this sort of weird thing where it's like, I think Mark feels like he has plausible deniability, where it's like, "I absolutely didn't know. He specifically didn't tell me because I had plausible deniability." But he had a pretty good idea. And I think that's where Paul is now, like, trying to use this against Mark, because for Paul's game, obviously he wants Mark out. He has a better relationship with Elena. Mark is a great competitor. He wants Mark to go first, but he knows that his allies, particularly Jason, would prefer Elena to go first, or even potentially Matt. And Elena and Matt are much more loyal to him. So he's really using everything he can to sort of pin this on Mark. So that's sort of where we are here. Then we go to the nomination ceremony, and Elena and Jason are nominated, with Matt as the third nominee. So Here we go. The Jason on the block. We hopefully we don't see a Jordan Parhar happen here.
Ooh, ow. That would not be good for your whistle nut. I think, jokes aside, I think he's going to be all right. There's still quite a bit to be seen. I'm seeing some things. Maybe the veto players have been picked. I don't know. Okay. Okay. It's still quite. Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So apparently, wow, this usually doesn't happen on our updates. Usually they're still sleeping. But apparently the veto players were picked and Cody was not chosen for the veto. The players are Alex, Elena, Jason, Matt, Mark, and Paul. So we could still theoretically see Mark or Elena win, and then they'll have to, but then, you know, that doesn't matter because Cody will just go. So a lot of intrigue just dissipated from this week.
Well, there goes that. Yeah. There goes that. Oh my God. Okay, so now let's see. So Paul and Mark. Yeah, so essentially it's checkmate. It's checkmate. Unless Matt wins and decides I want to use the veto on myself, which, let's face it, probably not going to happen. He's with the team. He knows he's fine. So, damn.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if I'm Cody, like, my only play now is to get Mark and Elena to work on some sort of like big lie, like Natalie and Kevin style from season 11, and go to Matt and say, hey, Matt. We think there's a plan in the works to maybe flip the script around on you. Maybe you need to win this veto and use it on yourself. There's some sort of subtle way to get Matt paranoid enough to maybe use that veto. But he was like at the forefront of the charge, like, Mark, you shouldn't use the veto on yourself. And that was like for no good particular reason. So it's we're probably seeing Cody go home this week.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, like, yesterday Alex was talking to Matt, to Mark, and saying, yeah, no, a couple people are still mad about you using the veto last week and changing the nominations. Like, well, he was on the block, of course he's going to use it, Alex, what are you talking about? But to your point, now Matt's with that group, and he was part of that mentality, so I don't think he's going to use it, even if he does win it. On himself, obviously, he will probably use it on Whistle Nut at that point, and we will see him, Elena, and Cody come Thursday, unless Mark wins, which then we'll see someone. We'll see Cody, Cody, Jason, and Matt on the block come Thursday. Either way, Cody's going to be there, and it's sad. It's sad.
Yes, Nina and Nikki in the chat point out Elena goes home if Matt uses the veto. So obviously, Elena and Mark will not help out Cody in any sort of lie plan either. So man, it really, really. Cody, he's dead in the water here. I guess the most intrigue we can look for is hopefully Matt wins the veto. And at best, we have to see him use it on somebody else. Like the first time the veto has been used on somebody else when you're on the block, that's not like a family member or a loved one, right? Like,
exactly.
That's something, right? And then we can hope that it somehow gets flipped around.
Yeah, Matt will make history in his in some bizarro way. Yeah, that'll happen. And I mean, at this point, the fact of the matter is, unless something outside of Cody's control happens, so unless some kind of blow up, someone's mad about some kind of mess in the kitchen, and then they blow that up out of proportion, like we saw yesterday with Christmas and Mark, unless something crazy like that happens, this is dead in the water. The winds are out of the sails. Cody's going, and all eyes on double eviction.
Yes, people are asking, didn't Marcellus do that? Marcellus did not use the veto at all. The only people to have used the veto when they're on the block on somebody else who is not them on the block is Evil Dick and Brendan, who used it on their loved ones to sort of save them. So we could see Matt do it to somebody who, like somebody like Jason, who actively wants Matt out of the game. That would be fun to watch. So. Okay, Elena. Okay, so Mark and Christmas eventually getting back to last night. Mark and Christmas do clear the air a bit eventually, and we see them essentially just like, we're good, it's fine, everything's good. We don't have to mess about with this stuff. It doesn't really. Clear the air. Like, there's Mark is still pretty upset with Christmas, and she's obviously still you know, planning on, you know, taking him out. But they you know, they fake clear the air, as many people
they
do.
They got the niceties.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Paul has a talk with Christmas where they sort of like rehash everything that went down. Mark had at one point brought up the fact that he thought Christmas was one of the votes to try to stir the pot when she was in the hospital. Paul says, nobody knows that for sure. Just continue denying it. And he also says to Christmas, I want to take you and Josh as far as I can. You are my people. And here's why. You are the only ones that haven't messed with me in any sort of way. Like, you haven't screwed me in any way, shape, or form. And so I'm choosing you guys to take to the end. And this is part of why Paul is doing so well in this game, because Christmas recognizes that Paul has a deal with everyone. She recognizes how much power he has in the house, but she feels like, I have been loyal to Paul from the start. He's going to use that power and choose me and take me to the end. And everybody thinks that. And Paul is telling them, I'm choosing you because you haven't said a bad word about me or against me, which obviously encourages them to never speak a bad word about Paul, because all I need to do is be as loyal as possible to Paul, and he's going to take me right down to the end. And then maybe then the plan is like, all I need to do is win a competition here or there, and I'm the winner of the game. Or maybe they legitimately feel like his whole I can't win the game thing is true, and they feel like they can win that way. Or they're not even thinking about winning the game because they're that dumb. So... yeah, this is Paul. It's very effective here. It's, well, I mean, Puya, tell me how this is working.
It's that self-fulfilling prophecy magic. You tell someone something long enough, they'll end up doing it that way, whether subconsciously or like understandably through their own devices. I think Christmas is one of the few people who I think has been able to see beyond Paul's facade and kind of suss out that he has a little bit more going on than he's letting on. But again, it goes back to the fact that so many of them believe they're his number two, they're his right-hand man. So when that's going on, it's hard to find out who's who and like who exactly are you targeting. And that's the fun thing that'll come along is once it ends up just being that alliance. So once, you know, your Marks and Cody end up leaving, whoever wins these competitions, Paul is still most likely probably safe outside of like one or two people waking up and going at it. So then once people start targeting one another and people end up talking a la Janelle and Erica, where it's kind of like, oh, we're all being played, then the tables will flip on him. But as of right now, no one has any reason. Like Christmas and like she does not have any reason to doubt anything Paul is saying, because not only has Paul not done anything to her when he's had power, but he's also, you know, constantly thanking her and almost complimenting her for not betraying him, not backstabbing him, her and Josh. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Paul, I don't think he's playing a masterful game. I think your season is as good as your weakest player. And like, who is the weakest player in this house? Who knows? Throw a rock. One of them is pretty much. But Paul is doing well with the devices that he's given. Maybe not through the best of means, maybe not through the most accurate of means, but it's working. So we got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, and I think another underrated part of it is the no alliance names. There have been no alliance names this season at all, and it makes it very easy to not get caught in any kind of particular alliance. Like, usually the thing is like, oh, did you hear about their alliance? It's named so-and-so. And then yeah, it's like, why don't we have a name? Or I thought we were the only named alliance. There's no named alliances, which helps keep the ambiguity up in the air. So it's very effective, Paul's work here. So we also have Kevin. Kevin gets upset about his family. He starts crying a little bit. He's missing his family. He feels like, you know, what is he doing here? He's got daughters. Paul eventually kind of gives him a pep talk here. Don't worry, man. I cried on my season. It happens to everyone. We're past the midway point where everything's going to be fine. Kevin really appreciates it. He says, you know, your parents raised you right. I don't know exactly what happened here with Kevin. There's a lot of speculation from the house guests that, like, you know, something to do with his marriage or something on the outside. But, you know, Kevin just has a moment here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of a couple of things. I think, like, it could be something where the date in particular, like, let's say August 11th, has a special place in his heart, sentimental reasons, whether it's a sad thing or a happy thing. It's some time where he's closest to his family, so he's missing them. He was talking to Jason and trying to see, like, like, do you think if I ask them to like call my family without giving a message back to me, they'll do it? I just really want to like contact them somehow. And then just to go back to what Paul was doing with Kevin and like calming him down and talking it through with him. Paul then later goes to Cody and does something of similar sort and says, hey, like, I know we have personal things, like we've had beef in this house, we're against each other, but I know how difficult it can be. I know you had genuine feelings for Jessica. So if you ever need someone to talk to, like, I'm here for you, buddy, I've got you. And Cody appreciates that. And I like seeing this part of Paul's game. There's been moments in the last couple of weeks where Paul kind of sicks his dogs on somebody and everyone just goes full circle and attacks. But I love this part of the game because not only is it jury management, which is I think he's doing a decent job at so far this early on, but at the same time, it's a nicety that I appreciate as a human being. Just to tell someone you'll be there for him, even though they hate your guts, you hate their guts, and you haven't gotten along since week one. Just to be able to tell someone that you're willing to do that. This might be a correction in his game that we didn't really see last time. So this might be where Paul decides to finally improve upon his game and not just do everything like he was going to do it the way he told Rob last year in the backyard.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast from him berating Natalie out the door and then losing that key jury vote. He's definitely learned from some of his mistakes here. And this is such a classic Paul move, too, where like he has this pep talk with Kevin and then he's like, that was great. I'm feeling so high about that. Like, well, I'm going to just go around and do this with everyone. This is awesome. Let me go do this with Cody. Like, this works.
You would have thought being nice makes you feel good, huh, Paul?
There you go. All right. So finally, at the end of the night, we had Elena talking to Mark. She says, I know Paul has a deal with Alex, Jason, and Kevin. I'm just waiting for him to admit it to me. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Maybe I need to confront Jason about it because I know Jason isn't great when confronted, which is very true. She's starting to come around to Mark's point of view in terms of like, we can't really trust Paul. We need to be wary of Paul. Paul's starting to lose these people one by one, you know, as he makes, and it's really a balancing act for Paul because he needs to make them a big target and sick everyone against them. And then as that happens, they realize it's him that's doing it and they shout his name on the way out the door. But by then it's too late. This might be not too late. There's still some chance here. And the crowd is amassing. It took too long to get Jess and Cody out because of all their powers. So this could be some flaws in his armor here, but it's they still just have to win a competition. That's really what it comes down to. They also talk about how they don't like Christmas. They feel like she feels like she thinks she's a gangster. She thinks she's really tough, and she's not. I feel like this might be like a personality thing where it's like Christmas is like a really tough person. But now that she's like crippled, essentially, they're like, why are you talking like you're tough, Christmas? You're not tough.
Yes.
You're crippled.
Sit down, Christmas, because you can't get up.
Yeah. They even said like she's scooting around on a scooter. She's not tough.
I mean, like Chameleoner did say, they see me rolling, they hating. So I think that's what was going on last night. And I think Elena is someone who likes to be in that position. I think Elena in her normal life is the outspoken one, is the one that kind of leads conversation, the one that ends up conversationally taking people apart if it comes to that, if she needs to. So watching Christmas do that to Mark, I don't think she truly appreciated that at all. She mentioned the same thing with Josh. She was like, Josh is a nice and lovable guy until you have to have a mature conversation with him. Then you have to watch him be like that. So with Elena and Mark, I think they hit on some interesting points last night. I think Elena, again, something similar to Christmas, is one of the few people that is being held closely by Paul, who is starting to see things, who is starting to feel things and starting to feel that it's a little off. And she was talking about, well, maybe we should talk to Raven and Matt and try and get a foursome going because we're going to be next. And then Mark goes, well, actually, I feel more comfortable with Alex and Jason than I do with Raven and Matt. So they still kind of need to get their ducks in a row and figure it out. But again, as you said, if one of them do end up winning, these are two pairs of people that they could, why not work with both? You know, keep both of them safe, four of them safe, go after someone else. So again, again, it all comes way round to we need a specific number of people to win for something to happen. And now that Cody has not gotten the veto opportunity, we got to be looking at Elena and Mark to maybe shake it up a little bit. Otherwise, Mark or Elena, one of them, I believe, will be gone come DE.
Yeah, and it's kind of frustrating watching that they're coming so close to like, okay, what should we do? Should we go to Matt and Raven? They probably shouldn't because they're probably right. They can't trust them. They really don't have a lot of options. But then ultimately the decision comes down to, you know what? Maybe we just need to suck up to the big group as much as possible. Try to get Matt and Raven ahead of us on the chopping block and then just continue to hope to win a competition, I think. The problem is I'm not even sure that they have the ability or the knowledge of like, this is what we do once we do win a competition. This is how we get some strength from this. Obviously, we saw Jess completely bomb the one time that she was in power. It's hard to see if Matt or if Mark or Elena is going to be capable of really getting any traction, even if they do win power. I think Mark actually has a better shot because he does have some relationships. But again, the problem is that Paul is just so entrenched. It's going to be really hard to strike at Paul. And nobody's really capable of like doing what Paul is doing because Paul is the one person that's just like this immovable thing. Like you can't convince Paul that he's wrong. And that's what you need to do. Like, and I think it's possible if people were trying more, I think Mark could throw some stuff out there, throw some lies out there. Like, you know what? Christmas had already been talking bad about you. You should have seen what she said to me when she was in the conversation with me and get Paul to feel like, oh, somebody has turned their back on me. Somebody has said bad about me. And then like, focus his rage on somebody else, and that's when you might get him to slip up. But nobody's really doing it. So we'll
yeah, see. The perfect scenario for that would be like we've seen Paul say multiple times in different DRs that he wants to cause a little bit of mayhem and he wants information out there to like get the results that he wants. So it would be very fun. Not saying it's going to happen. Just saying personally, it would be very fun to see at least one, if not two people, go to him and around the same timeline and just decide, I'm going to bluff him. I'm going to make something up, pull something out of my butt and just throw it at him. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. Because then if he has multiple stories coming at him that say different things, I mean, Paul is someone who's played before. He's someone who really wants to right this wrong. He was final two, for God's sake, and he lost by one vote. Make him paranoid. You need to shake this guy up. And I don't think any of them are realizing this. And if they have, they're not doing anything about it yet because they're still playing it, say, close to the vest. Because they're still in a situation where if they are the one that stick their neck out, they're the one that's going to get shot. So they're really playing it safe. All it takes is one term of power to get into your own head, get that HOH-itis going, and just turn your wheels to try and spin it into something bigger. So we need someone to win this HOH that'll start thinking either for themselves or that'll start deciding maybe I need to play a little more. Like, I hate to say this as someone who's been vocal on a podcast before about not liking Sierra Easton, but we need someone to make a big move. We genuinely do need someone to decide I need to make a big move. And once they do that, maybe that'll blow the door right open and it'll be a fun time. We'll see.
Yes, they need to shake up the status quo, especially when you know you're on the bottom. You know, you can climb your way up one spot, but is that really going to help you? You just need to shake things up, make some kind of move, you know, make that leap of faith. I just feel like Elena, she's not bold enough to do it, at least right now. So hopefully. Yeah. But that is our update for today. A bit of a long one. Saturdays are usually long, but lots of stuff to talk about, lots of interesting stuff going on. We'll probably have a bit of a slower week from this point forward, but you know, who knows? There might be a lot of like interesting little subtle setup for next week, especially they know that there's a double eviction coming. So there could be a lot of intrigue between like, who are we going to target? What ends up happening? Who are Mark and Elena going to put up if they win that HOH? But probably we're going to be seeing Cody going home this week with that veto draw. So that's all we got for you. We'll be live tomorrow at noon Eastern to give you another update on what happens with the veto and all of that. We'll be live at 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday night for the LFC roundtable, where we'll get into all of this stuff in even more detail. And then, of course, Sunday night, Rob will be live after the West Coast airing of the nomination episode of Big Brother. So lots of stuff ahead. And thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time.